As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's raise some ruckus, baby. What do you say?
Let's raise some hell.
Let's raise some hell.
I say let's raise some ruckus.
No, I say let's raise some cane.
Let's raise some cane!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, June 19th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him is the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Go get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. And after today's classic, check out the brand new Is This Good podcast with our very own Tass Mellis joining Matty O and JD to discuss cat scratch fever, victory cigarettes, the worst baseball fans to sit next to, and a whole lot more. So
a lot of topics.
Yeah.
Wow, a Matt just flies through topics. You know how he is.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't sitting on a topic too long.
No, that's right.
It was a good time. Very good,
stuff. So Is This Good has its own podcast feed, its own YouTube feed, so seek that out and join the Patreon too for Matty O and JD over there. Can't wait to listen to that one. But first, TK,
we got ourselves a trade.
Yeah, we do. The Washington Wizards reportedly are finalizing a deal to trade all-star guard Bradley Beal to the Phoenix Suns. Per Shams, the Suns are sending Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, a package of future second-round picks, and multiple pick swaps to DC in exchange for Beal. Now, Jordan Goodwin has been told he's likely being included in this deal too, so we'll put him on the board there. Beal and Goodwin to the Phoenix Suns in exchange for Chris Paul, Shamet, and like I said, the second round picks and a couple first round pick swaps. There is a chance that the trade could eventually include a third team, specifically to acquire Chris Paul, but the basic framework is done. Tass Mellis, let's start from the Suns side of things.
Oh, the Suns, interesting.
Yeah, we'll get to the Wizards and a bunch of questions surrounding them with Chris Paul and a couple of their own guys, but
or like
from the Suns side of things.
Or from the Wizards, what the hell?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, getting nothing for Bradley Beal, that's a fairly good question to start with. They backed themselves in a corner. There's no doubt over the last few years, they took forever to make this happen. Now with the new CBA coming, yeah. They played themselves. There's no doubt. They are picking a direction. That's fine. But here, what we thought last year, a first-round pick and a young player, is that a lot to ask for Bradley Beal, looking at everything that's happened the last few years? No, it shouldn't be. They didn't even get one of those. They didn't get a young player or a first-round pick. They got pick swaps, which isn't the same thing. So, sure. I mean, yeah, that's just what the hell happened. On the other side...
Well, hold on. Isn't what the hell happened is when they gave Bradley Beal a no-trade clause?
They played themselves, yeah.
And he's like...
He also played them, I think.
Yeah.
Which...
That's why this deal sucks.
Exactly. That's why this deal sucks. I mean, honestly, a little bit shameful from Beal to go from wanting to win in Washington to basically destroying Washington basketball for the next decade. Bit of a curveball there, for sure, but it's crazy to think that we were talking about trade packages over the weekend, or before the weekend, and Tass is like, they got to get something better than the 18th pick. They would love to have gotten the 18th pick here. Yeah.
Well, if Miami did apparently offer two first-round picks, and essentially that no-trade clause prohibited the Wizards from trading him to any team but the Phoenix Suns. That's what it feels like. He just said, I'm only going to that one team. And they didn't even have first-round picks to offer, so this is what they ended up with. Money savings. And that's it.
Do you think a part of that is on Father's Day of all days, the Mark Bartle sign, the agent of Bradley Beal, his relationship with the new CEO of the Suns, Josh Bartlestein, his son, is the only team he'll decide to go to? You think that's just a coincidence? I don't.
I think the skids were certainly greased, but I mean, it all comes down to the no trade clause, absolutely, because the Washington or the Miami deal seemed better, even though by all accounts it ended up being Lowry, Robinson, and then first round picks.
That's way better. That's better.
I would love the first round picks. Yeah. I would love Robinson, Duncan Robinson. Like, he would maybe actually play for the team. Yeah. There's no guarantee that Chris Paul's around. There's no guarantee that Landry Shamet's around. They got nothing. They got nothing for their second leading scorer all time.
It's nuts, I guess.
But I hear people saying that the Wizards won this deal.
Whatever. There's no way they won this deal. They are picking a direction that's wonderful for them. They're not going to be a middling team. They're just going to be a bad team. And that's good. But why not take on a first-round pick? It doesn't cost you money right off the bat. It doesn't do anything but give you hope. Give those Wizards fans hope that this might be a good player in the future. So it's the no trade clause is the screw job. Yeah, that's for sure. And like you said about the Bartlestein thing, if Bradley Beal waives his no trade clause now, then you know he's doing somebody a favor there in Phoenix.
Yeah, sure.
Because the no trade clause is back. He's still part of his contract.
Yeah.
So he still controls it. Maybe it's the last one we ever see in NBA history, I mean, at least for the foreseeable future until somebody screws up again. But why would you give somebody a no-trade clause when you see this happen?
So, Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix is the fun part.
After acquiring Kevin Durant in February and using a lot of their draft capital to make that happen, going all in on KD, obviously going out in the second round to your eventual champion Nuggets, they, doubled down here, Trey Kirby, in acquiring Bradley Beal for not a lot. We're all in agreement with that. For next to nothing, but they have put themselves into a bit of a corner here in regards to their to the number of players on their team that make all the money, and now they have to fill out like 10 roster spots with next to nothing, especially when we start talking about this second apron around the horizon.
Yeah, it's funny because the Suns got better. Bradley Beal, definitely an upgrade over Chris Paul. I guess you would probably have the same availability concerns for both of them, but as we saw with Chris Paul, like going into the playoffs, at this point you should expect him to miss some games. Beal, on the other hand, we don't know because he hasn't played in the playoffs for quite some time. But they got better. They didn't really give up anything in Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, guys who are rotation players, but replaced by Beal certainly. And I think they came into Sunday being the second best team in the Western Conference, and they leave Sunday being the second best team in the Western Conference. So they got better, but not in any areas where they needed to improve after watching the way things went against the Nuggets in the playoffs. They had no chance against Jokic. Most teams don't. So that's going to continue to be the case. They didn't have enough depth to hang with the Nuggets. You don't need a ton of guys, but you need more than four. And right now they've got four and all the guys that they're going to have to sign again because there's no other ways to really improve this team. So what? You're bringing back Campaign, Ish Wainwright, Torrey Craig, guys who could play one game in the playoffs against the champions and then were completely useless. So basically the same for the Suns, but now they got Bradley Beal. That's it. More marketable, I guess.
They got beat down by the Nuggets, no doubt. Chris Paul didn't even really play in that series. He was a shell of himself for two games. I guess he played seven quarters. He had one good quarter. He had 8 points, and then he went. He was gone. So they had Durant and Booker, and I guess they won the most games off of any from the Nuggets out of anybody in the entire NBA, winning two. And Beal will help their offense. They can score with the Nuggets. But I do agree, they got to change up their makeup, really. And I think the only way they can do that is trading DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. They've got three scorers now. They don't need Ayton to do that on that end. Yeah, he got beat by Jokic. So does everybody. I think Jock Landale coming in for DeAndre Ayton played him better, to be honest. And those are the type of guys you need around Booker, Beal, and Durant. Grinders. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. And so I think Ayton, look at him as a fourth banana now. Is he going to be happy? I would think there's very, very, very little chance he's going to be content, going to be able to do the grinding work when he wasn't really doing that last year. They tried to get him involved. So I think they got to trade him for
sort of multiple pieces.
Some defenders, for sure. Yeah.
He is owed, Ayton is $32.46 million in 23-24, so next season. He has almost $100 million guaranteed to him over the next 3 years. I mean, when you look at the Suns right now, they have nearly $750 million in guaranteed money on their books.
Does it matter, though?
For Beal, Booker, Durant, and Ayton. Well, no, it's not our money, but it matters in the sense of obviously building out the rest of the roster. Like you're saying, these guys that they have on their team, they need to convince to come back or re-sign them, and then go find a bunch of vet minimum guys. Come on back, Dwight Howard. Hey, DeMarcus Cousins, what are you doing? Mike James, he has a relationship with Kevin Durant playing overseas. You know, it's like, oh, or this idea, and I'd love to hear your opinions on possibly trading Ayton. Is that a smart move? Should the Suns look to do that?
Absolutely, that's a smart move. I think they're not going to get a player as talented as Ayton. Ayton's still good. He was like 18-10 last year, but like Tass is saying, there was drama with in the franchise and between Ayton and the franchise. Maybe that lessens now with Monty Williams being gone and Chris Paul being gone. I don't know, but it's basically been two seasons of Ayton being unhappy, and now he's going to get even less looks. Like, the guy's going to be Joel Anthony out there, and I don't think that's what he wants. So one player turned into two, I think probably is smart for the Suns, but like, are you getting excited about PJ Washington, Kelly Oubre, and either Big Mark or Big Nick? Probably not. Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, that's interesting, that deal couldn't happen last year. Yeah. You got to have somebody that's really excited about Ayton. I guess the Pacers did sign him to his contract, so maybe he's on the move. But you're not getting anybody better than DeAndre Ayton in this trade. And guess what? The best player in the league is a center. Like, you got to have a good center. Yeah. So I don't know. This is tough. I heard Tim Bontemps compare the Suns to the Lakers team with Westbrook, where it was LeBron, Davis, and Westbrook as the big three. And then you got basically minimum contract guys. They didn't have the right mix around those three. They had to trade everybody, and they wasted a year and a half doing it. So something similar could be in the mix for Phoenix here, having three guys that you know are making 90% of your salary cap, and you're just trying to find whatever scraps you can. You're talking about three guys that are out of the league who might need to come back and help this team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they got to get creative with the trade. I did this with the Chicago Bulls. Alex Caruso, the headline. They have been rumored to wanting to deal him because they got to move on. DeAndre Ayton, a young, promising big.
Yeah.
Come on over. That would be the biggest part, I would say. Patrick Williams giving up on him as another rotation guy. And really the thing that would make it work money-wise is the contract of Lonzo Ball. Maybe you get some insurance back for that because he's always injured. But I think that helps the mentality of the team with Caruso and Patrick Williams.
It's a great trade for the Suns.
It's a great trade.
That'd be a great trade.
The Bulls, I would hope, say no to that.
Yeah.
Why? They get Ayton out of it. They've got an old Caruso. What? Why? I mean, Lonzo. If Lonzo Ball's not playing, I don't know. He was rumored to be moved on. So I think, I think there's a possibility.
The other ones I've seen are Ayton to the Mavericks for like Tim Hardaway Jr., Reggie Bullock, maybe a JaVale McGee to get like some sort of center in there. The one I like, it lacks a center or size, but would the Magic be interested at all in like a cheap buy on DeAndre Ayton? Could you do like Jonathan Isaac, Gary Harris, and Michael Carter Williams?
They have like
something like that.
I thought that too. They got a lot of forwards, but they also have a lot of centers.
Yeah.
Then they're just a glut of a team as big. So
it makes a lot too.
Yes.
$32 million next season, $34 million the season after that, $35.5 million after. So a team has to love them.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to get harder to trade players on big contracts too, because all the over-cap teams won't be able to aggregate guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Some teams got to really, really believe in Ayton. And I don't know that a lot of teams do. The team he's playing on, who's been one of the best teams in the league, doesn't believe in him.
Yeah. You got to find just one. I mean, the Pacers signed him to a contract last year, 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. Suns matched.
But then the Pacers signed Turner again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, that's a weird one. It doesn't seem like there's a fit there for the Pacers to make that deal. I wouldn't really get it. but you have some hope with Ayton to be a young young center for the future. I haven't looked at the Pelicans, maybe. I mean, that sounds a little crazy, but yeah, that's more of a Phoenix Suns situation, wanting to pry one of their big defensive wings, because Trey Murphy has surpassed Herb Jones in the depth chart. I mean, if you can scoop Herb Jones, you're laughing. But I don't know. Do the Pelicans really love that over Jonas Valanciunas? Probably not. They got to find somebody who's a little desperate, and sort of on the back end. That's why I like the Bulls deal, because they're wanting to rebuild, and so you got to find a perfect scenario. But it has to happen sooner rather than later because of the CBA.
Mm-hmm. But you all think that this is the next move for Ishbia and the Suns here to try and move off of Ayton. You don't believe, new coach in there, Frank Vogel, can get something out of Ayton, and he can be your fourth banana, expensive fourth banana, but like have him commit and then try your best to fill out the rest of the roster. It's just the easiest path forward to get two or three capable players for Ayton. It sounds like everybody's saying.
I think so, because I don't envision Ayton saying, I want to be the defensive player of the year. I want to lead the league in rebounding.
Yeah.
If he had a complete change in mindset, why would you trade him?
Yeah.
If he was a lockdown defender who just wanted to set screens, roll to the basket and dunk, perfect. Mm-hmm. That's what you'd be looking for in a replacement, basically. But it seems unlikely that will be the case. The guy said that success in the NBA is getting to your second contract, and he did. So he's all about that bag, which, respect to him. But I don't know. It seems like the better, smarter move would be to turn one player into multiple players, because they got to have more than four.
Matt Ishbia, man, this guy, he just doubled
Money
down.
Matt.
Just
Mortgage
pushed.
Matt.
Yeah, it's like he sat down at the roulette table, last year with the Durant trade when he first comes in. Like, he just shows up at the casino. He's like, $500, let's put it all on black. Oh, comes up red. Okay, damn. Well, let's just double it up again. Like, he's got the mentality. He's like, I got the bankroll. I'll just keep doubling it every time, and I can't lose.
You think if the roulette ball comes off the spinner, he'll grab it and hold it?
Yeah.
Not let anybody else take it back?
It's possible. But, man, this, like, the impatience, really. Like, he fires Monty Williams, obviously, a guy that went to the finals a couple of years ago. He gave away a ton of depth and all of your draft capital to get Kevin Durant, right? And then he goes, all in here, a risk, no doubt, doubling down on this massive contract in Bradley Beal. And we'll see how they try and fill out the rest of the roster. And whether it, like you're saying, Trey, like, how much does it improve them? Can they get by some of the other elite teams in the Western Conference by just adding Beal and then, again, trying to figure out the rest of the roster? Like, James Jones has got to get to work here. He does.
I mean, all he has to do now is look at, like, sort low to high on free agency prices, because he has no picks he can trade, basically no players he can trade. All the pick swaps are gone. All the second rounders are gone. I'm breaking Tass's laptop over here. So James Jones doesn't have a ton to do. He's just got to, find a free agency tracker and look for the guys who are left over.
Yeah, he's just got one deal to make and picking up guys off the scrap. I think Ayton is his ticket. He really doesn't have a lot of cards to play, as we've said. Cheapies and DeAndre Ayton's contract turning into a few guys. Again, I'm all right going into next year with Jock Landale starting. I know they need more depth. They have Bismack Biyombo as their center. Jokic is going to cook, but at least Landale is going to fight and not want shots like DeAndre. And if you can get wing defenders, I mean, that's asking a lot, but more just defenders, simply put. Like, Torrey Craig is a little old now on their roster.
Campaign is still there as their point guard.
He is there. They really don't even need a point guard anymore with Beal and Booker. Those guys are just going to play so much.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part here. I mean, again, unless they can move Ayton for some defensive-minded guys, you're asking Devin Booker to be your best perimeter defender. You're asking Kevin Durant, basically, to be your best interior defender.
Yeah,
these guys can do it. For stretches, can they do it for an entire season? I'm not so sure. Even if you're asking them to do less on the offensive end, because now you got Bradley Beal and hopefully, his 25 points a game or whatever. And he needs to hit his three-pointer at a huge clip. Like, Simmons brought this up. It's a fair point. Like, they need Bradley Beal to be Ray Allen when he came to the Celtics and they started this whole big three era. He needs to be consistently knocking down threes. He's going to get the catch and shoot looks, obviously, with all the attention that Point Book and KD are gonna warrant. And he can. Like, I am excited to see Beal on a freaking good team, like, and see how he fits in with these guys. I think there's been a lot of talk about he sucks, he doesn't play at all, he's washed because he's 30. You know, there is a lot of that, and maybe they'll be proven to be right. I don't think so. I think Bradley Beal's going to kill it on this team.
He's going to be just the third option, the team you assume? Is. I guess, right? Yeah. Like, he should be. He's the third best of these guys, so that'll be an adjustment. Being the guy who gets the fewest amount of shots. It was weird for Chris Bosh when he was the third guy. Yep. It was weird for Kevin Love when he was the third guy. So that's definitely an adjustment he's going to have to make. And it's going to be imperative that Vogel gets a lot more interplay from KD, from Booker, and from Bradley Beal, because that was not the case with Monty Williams when it was KD and Devin Booker. Right. It was just Booker or KD go stand in the corner and be a spot up shooter, which was crazy to see happening, and probably part of the reason the lack of creativity that he is now coaching a different team. But Vogel has to figure out a way to like maximize these three guys and keep two of them on the court at all times. It can be done, but there are ways to like enhance each other rather than just be three good players who are out there together.
Absolutely. Especially the way like Booker as a playmaker has improved. Beal has shown that he can be a bit of a playmaker too. So,
absolutely.
But you're right. This is a lot of course, now Frank Vogel's got like, holy crap, I got a great team here. Well, I've got some guys. I have a great 3-on-3 team here. And now we got
Do they have an offensive coach? Like an offensive coordinator? Because he's a defense guy.
Yeah, it is weird that part that he's
obviously
coming
one.
In. Yeah.
And look, Money Matt doesn't mind spending, so pony up for Mike D'Antoni, maybe. Bring him back. Why not?
Right, man. Yeah, I think they've filled it out a little bit. They got Miles Simon on their roster, on their head coaching staff. I don't know who
else. They made Kevin Young the most...
maybe
Kevin
so.
He's got the most expensive assistant coach contract in the league.
Yeah, Miles Simon and John Lucas that they just, they just re-upped. So that's who they're working with. It is really, really interesting what they're going to get out of Beal. If he's willing to work... Because he's a damn good playmaker, too, when he can run pick and roll. If Durant's willing to take possessions off, and I think he will be, where he's not part of the main action. Yeah, he averaged like 6 assists once upon a time. I think his three-point percentage will go up like when he played with John Wall, when he was off the ball a little bit more. But, yeah, are they going to be involved enough? The difference is with Chris Bosh and Kevin Love is like three ball-handling guards. It's just hard to get the ball to all these dudes at all times.
So back to the Wizards side of things here. Tough to feel good about this deal if you're a Wizards fan, Trey Kirby? Or is there a bit of like, all right, we ripped the Band-Aid off. You know, we don't have obviously his albatross of a contract, and we are picking a direction which appears to be we're going to be very bad. We're probably doing it a year or two too late, but we are here
multiple
now.
Multiple years late.
Yeah. What do you think?
I wouldn't be excited. If I'm a Wizards fan, were you guys excited when the Raptors traded Vince Carter? That's what this really reminds me of. They got back Alonzo Mourning, who didn't play, Eric and Aaron Williams, random dudes, and then a couple of late first-round draft picks, which the Suns or the Wizards would have been very happy to get late first-round draft picks, and maybe the pick swaps turn into something in 2030, but that is a long time from now. I don't know. It's hard to get excited about the Wizards anyways. Their fans don't show up at the beginning of the game, so I don't think they were hyped to be seeing Kuzma, Porzingis, and Beal once again, but they traded their second leading scorer of all time for nothing. Like, these guys may not even play for the team.
Yeah, no, it's very possible.
So I would not be happy, but I don't know. To me, I don't mind getting a 10th seed. I don't mind it. I like seeing my team compete in games.
Well, they brought in the Clippers singer from the front office there. They brought in Dawkins from OKC's front office there because they wanted to rebuild. I get it. But you can't rebuild without first-round picks. That's the confusing part to me. OKC's treasure chest is filled with first-round picks. And maybe they turn Chris Paul into one. I suppose there's a chance there. But this is weird. And yeah, I was excited for the Vince Carter trade because I was young and dumb. But at least there was two first-round picks in that deal. And yeah, they screwed up and they took Joey Graham. And he's an assistant coach with the Denver Nuggets. Oh, no, that's Stephen Graham. Another Graham. But yeah, they screwed up for sure because of the picks just not being there.
Yep.
If you're a Washington Wizards fan, the words first-round pick at least offer some hope. Pick swaps. No, that's not sexy. I mean, the pick swaps could be.
Maybe.
They could be
maybe
from
2026 pick swap could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Something of note.
It could be. The pick swaps could be from 24 because it's not clear where the pick swaps are from. So the pick swaps could be 24. That's not going to be a good pick.
No, likely not.
That's the Phoenix Suns first round pick. That's not going to be a good run. Maybe the 26 one and maybe the 2030 one. Those are the three that they have to deal. That's weird stuff.
Should
not promising.
The new front office of the Wizards, should they have played this out a little longer? Should they have said, well, okay, he's only picking Phoenix, but this is a really bad return we're getting. So, no, not right now. And maybe, you know, maybe he changes his mind or he opens up to other teams at the start of next season or something. I'm spitballing here. Or again, is it just like, all right, let's just get this done and over with. We're probably not going to get a good return as it is, especially with him deciding where the hell he wants to go and whatever's coming back to us. Is that it? So you just do this? I guess so.
If there was nobody else making an offer.
It sort of feels like you've got like a beautiful armoire in your house, let's say, Trey. Like a nice piece of old furniture, real wood. Like it's good is what I'm saying. Like Bradley Beal, like it's something.
He's a nice piece of furniture.
Yeah. But it's huge. It's heavy and it's taking up room and you just want to get it out of your sight and get it out of the way. And so you're like, oh, let me just throw this up on Facebook Marketplace and somebody's like, $5, man, I'll come take it. Like I'll get it out of there. And you're like, God, $5 is like worth $5,000. This is nice. But you're like, you know what?
That's a costly armoire.
Yeah. But you're like, just come take it. $5, get it out of here, and I don't have to look at it and hopefully never think about it again.
I hear you. Bradley Beal is an armoire.
I think so.
You don't hear that.
But can you imagine if that armoire said to you, I don't want to be in that house.
Yeah, right.
I don't like their stairway.
Yeah, it says on the bottom of the armoire, like, only will go to Phoenix. So now you're even more screwed. So now you have to take a dollar from the one guy in Phoenix. Yeah. It's now, like, all right, I'll come get it.
Phoenix Suns is engraved on the bottom. Yeah. Oh, return to owner.
I don't know.
We got pooched.
Yeah. Well, when we moved, we literally just threw our armoire in the garbage.
Well, I guess $5 is better than...
Yeah. You did. It was IKEA, though, so particle board instead.
Mm.
I don't know who the IKEA armoire of the NBA is, but it feels like the Wizards got back what I got back for my armoire.
It will be interesting to see how the Wizards...
I didn't have to take it to another place. That's it.
Right.
Which was nice. Saved me packing space.
It will be interesting to see how the Wizards handle Chris Paul here. He's got a $30.8 million salary for the 23-24, of which only $15.8 million was previously guaranteed. It's likely becoming fully guaranteed for this trade, though. And we've got Porzingis and what he's doing with his player option. We obviously got Kyle Kuzma in free agency. But there are reports that Chris Paul could be rerouted to the Clippers here.
Well, that's a Clippers move, baby.
Yes. Chris Haynes was reporting this, you know, Josh Robbins saying that the Wizards were going to talk to Chris Paul and maybe he stays, but probably not. It's feeling like he, of course, will be moved. And again, this could be like a third team being included to make this happen. But thoughts on what the Wizards actually just do now here with all of these guys they've acquired and their big guys that are hitting possibly free agency.
Well, they're just saying, yeah, we might keep Chris Paul just to boost the trade value a little bit, right? Just to say, okay, you gotta want him a little bit. Give us something. And I think what they're going to get back is just more money that they can drop. I think that's what's going to happen. And maybe you attach an asset. I saw the Lakers as a possibility. I saw David Aldridge throw this out. Mo Bamba. And... who's the other pack? Malik Beasley. Yeah, the twosome there that you could literally let go or just have for one more year, you know, turn those into an asset. I don't think it's going to turn into anything, but you know, maybe a peripheral asset. And that's what's going to happen. The Lakers just seem like destiny. It seems like that's where it's going to happen. And I would rather that happen because at least we know that their guys are going to be on the floor at the end of the season. So they have... You know, Chris Paul could be playing for a championship because this team was pretty good. Well, with the Clippers, we don't even know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, AD and LeBron are going to play at some point. So that's where I see him end up. It's a banana boat. It's official. Feels like it.
LA seems to make sense, whether it be the Lakers or the Clippers. I guess the Lakers are a little bit more reliable. I mean, Anthony Davis has missed a ton of time in the playoffs as well. But
But it is. But they are.
They are more so, I guess, than
Kawhi and PG.
But I don't know. I mean, the Lakers seems to make more sense to me for Chris Paul, but it doesn't feel like we've gotten the signals from LeBron that he really wants to play from Chris Paul, which I would say is a little unusual. Like, The Melo stuff was pretty obvious when he wanted Melo to come there. It hasn't been the same for Chris Paul, mm-hmm. but all indications point to somewhere in the Crypto.com arena.
Porzingis is considering picking up his $36 million player option with the Wizards. And, you know, if he does, is he going to be moved? There was reports going around on the weekend. NBA insider Evan Massey saying the Wizards had discussions with the Blazers about Porzingis and maybe him going to Portland. You know, I think there was some concern that it would be for the third pick, excuse me, in the draft. I don't think it would be for that, but could it be for Nurkic or Nasir Little and like maybe the 23 pick that they have? Maybe there's something there. And then they got to figure out what they're doing with Kyle Kuzma too, who's definitely going to test free agency here. He's not going to pick up a $13 million player option when he can probably make $20 million annually. And they got to figure out, is that him sticking there or not?
Hope the Wizards get an asset here or there. I mean, they have their own picks in general if they stay in the lottery, which they're going to stay in the lottery. But Kristaps Porzingis is a real interesting one. Maybe there's a sign-in trade there. Kristaps Porzingis is going to want to get paid right here, right now, I think. We're seeing money being handed out. I think we are going to see a lot of deals because of the CBA on the horizon. It penalizes everybody. So I think we are going to see deals pretty hot and heavy over the next couple of weeks, and Kristaps Porzingis could be one of them. Why wouldn't he? He just had a solid year.
He opts out of a $36 million deal to take probably less money annually, but for longer.
Yeah. Or that is a sign and trade.
Right.
Either way, yeah, why not? You don't think somebody will pay Kristaps Porzingis after he played 65 games this past season, had a fairly good year, 25 per year for 4 years? I would take that money right now before the CBA kicks in. And the league is going bigger. He is quite large. Why not? Why not? If you're Kristaps Porzingis and his agent, you got to do it, I think. So who's willing to do it? That's a tough question, for sure. But teams like doing sign-in trades now, so...
You know. Yeah, I guess they do.
And they'll take anything back. The Wizards will take anything back.
As we've seen, yeah, probably. Especially if they want to be the absolute worst team in the league next year, which they're setting themselves up to be.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the presence of Porzingis probably doesn't change whether or not they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They might be the fifth worst team if he's their star. But they should hope either way that they find a sign-and-trade for him or that he opts into this $36 million option and then they can trade him because this is a good way for the Wizards to get a first-round pick back. There are lots of competitive teams who will be interested in Porzingis. Like, I saw Porzingis was trending on Twitter today, and it's like Celtics fans want him, Warriors fans, the Lakers fans. They want everybody. The Blazers want him. So there will be a market for Porzingis. He's one of the better players available. He had a healthy, good season for him, so this would be the time to strike for the Wizards because there ain't no reason to bring him back. And if you're truly rebuilding, like, this is an opportunity to get an asset for the future.
Just to put a button on this, we got to bring up the Miami Heat. I know we slipped them in there in talking about the Beal part of this because they have long been mentioned as a potential landing spot for Beal. I mean, it came down to Phoenix, it came down to Miami by all accounts. And we were getting, you know, reports, like you said, deals. Is it Lowry? Is it Duncan? Or is it Oladipo? You know, is it Jovic? Is it the 18th pick? Is it future picks? Like, the Miami Heat have way more draft capital. And we're hearing, you know, from Chris Haynes now that, or maybe even included with this whole Beal situation, is like, their focus is now on Damian Lillard, the Miami Heat. And it's like, okay. And maybe this was like a part of the whole Wizards rushing to just get off of Beal and get off of that massive contract because of the concern of, like, is Lillard right around the corner and is that more enticing to people? I guess that's a possibility. But any thoughts on Lillard Heat rumors here, heating up, pun intended? Or you don't believe this and it's still help, or you still think Portland's focusing on trying to get a better team around Damian Lillard?
I think we're going to have a bonkers week. I think there are going to be a lot of deals that will transpire. I do think this is a huge reason why the Wizards struck, just said, let's get this going. We don't want to be left with no pick swaps. I mean, that's all they got. That's wild. But I think the only route was Phoenix. They had to do that, I guess. Maybe it didn't matter if it was 2 weeks from now. That's a very confusing situation with the Wizards. But Lillard and the Heat, I'm buying him. Lillard was putting it out there a few weeks ago, more so than he's ever put out there before, that he was willing to move on from Portland in that interview with Brian Custer, where he was thrown out nets. Sure. Bam. Love that guy. Played with him in the Olympics. And the Heat are willing to go all in as well. Seems like the cost is low out there. But, yeah, the problem is, who are the Heat bidding with for Damian Lillard? It's not going to be as low as a Washington Wizards price, but it seems like it's going to be fairly low. So those first-round picks, sure. And then you get back into the players of, like, you know, your Lowry, Robinson, maybe Hero category.
Trey, any thoughts on Chris Haynes here reporting? You know, he's obviously pretty locked in when it comes to Damian Lillard. You have to pay attention. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, we haven't gotten the trade request from Chris Haynes. So I don't think Lillard is going to get traded until he makes a trade request. It'll be just like Kevin Garnett in Minnesota. He will stick it out as long as possible, and then whenever he decides to make the change, Portland will honor that trade request, and everybody will feel good about it, but it doesn't feel like that has happened yet. So I imagine Joe Cronin has a very busy week on the phones, because it's either trading Lillard or trading the third pick.
Yeah.
Like, you can't end Thursday having Lillard and a number three draft pick. You just can't do it. You either have to have the number three pick, and we're going forward trying to win with Scoot or Brandon Miller, or you trade that pick and Simons to try and bring in somebody who's going to help Lillard right now. Maybe it's Porzingis. Maybe he's in the mix now that the Wizards have chosen their path. But I don't know. The Blazers are definitely going to get more for Lillard than the Wizards did for Beal, just because of no trade clause. I mean, David Aldridge said Washington wanted multiple first-rounders from the Heat, so they were offering that for Beal. They could offer 3, 23, 27, I think, and 29. Like, they can offer a lot of picks, and they can offer young players if they wanted to do Hero. They could throw in Lowry, Robinson, all the stuff that the Wizards would have loved to get for Beal.
Yeah.
The Blazers could actually get it for Damian Lillard, but not until he says so.
Yeah.
Did Beal not want to go to Miami because he didn't want to pull a Kevin Durant joining a team that just went to the finals? Because it doesn't really make a lot of sense other than that. I mean, both warm weather cities. He likes it hot.
Heat and Suns.
Heat and Suns. This team that just got to the finals, you could say it's a slightly easier, you know, route to get there in the Eastern Conference, if you want to look at it that way. It's just strange.
I think he wanted to play with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. I think those guys are, like, at the top of most players' lists of, like, I'd love to play with those guys. Personal opinion. But that's what I think. I mean, at least Kevin Durant, wherever he goes, people are like, yeah, I'd love to play with a super team with that guy. And I think Devin Booker is, along those lines. But yeah, why did he ultimately? Is it the father-son relationship here in the front offices and the agents? I mean, he ultimately selected it. He selected Phoenix, yeah.
I also remember Bradley Beal saying, first and foremost, his nickname is the Big Panda because he eats a ton. And then I remember he put on a ton of sympathy weight when his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to go through the Miami Heat training regimen.
It's a little easier in Phoenix.
It's easier. More laid back.
They don't have a body fat percentage check-in.
Is he a big golfer? Do we know that? Does Bradley Beal hit the links?
He's a very rich guy, I imagine he does.
probably. All right.
It would have been a better fit basketball-wise in Miami. Just he would have the ball more because it's Bam rather than Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, but we'll never know. I like the body fat percentage. It's not bad. You know, you don't have Pat
there
Riley
questions there
coming up and squeezing the gut. Yeah, I'm with you. That's just wild.
Is this a super team, you think, or just a big three?
Oh wow.
I think there's a difference.
There is. Okay. Yeah. What's the difference?
Explain the difference. Yeah.
Well, this ain't a super team. That's the difference. This is three very, very good players who make up a huge portion of the cap. But I think you have to have multiple MVPs for it to be a super team, or at least multiple finals MVPs. So, like, I'm including the Miami Heat.
Right.
They had Dwayne Wade as a finals MVP, and then LeBron joined him as a reigning MVP. I don't think this is quite the same.
So the Warriors, I assume, was a
come on, the Warriors are the most super of teams.
Yeah,
but when Durant got there, he didn't have finals MVP.
He had an MVP, though.
He had an MVP. Yeah. Curry had his,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
But then the Celtics weren't one either. Then
they only won one championship. I agree they weren't a super team.
Big three. They started
the
big three.
They had a big three. Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
So there's been
and
one super team
And they absolutely are
a
big three. I mean, where does Beal rank in the league right now? What is he? To you, is he top? Because I see everybody go from top 20, top 25. Some say, no, not even close. He's more like at the back end, like top 40, top 35. Where do you put him?
Probably like top 30.
Yeah, that's right too.
Like he's in the top 10 among guards, but on the lower end of that, I would say.
Yeah. You?
Give
me your entire list right now, off the top of your head. No, I'm kidding.
Well, he's not making all NBA, I don't think, at this point. Top six guards in the league?
Unlikely. Is he? Pretty unlikely.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. All right, well, let's hear your thoughts on this blockbuster deal here. Bradley Beal going to the Phoenix Suns. Is it a super team or is it a big three? Do you even like it? Will it work? Are they screwed? They have no picks for like the rest of their future here. They are really convinced or hoping that this results in a championship next season or maybe the season after that, because, man, then it gets dark real quick. And what do you think about the Wizards' return? And should he have maybe gone to Miami? All of this stuff that we just dissected here. Let's hear your thoughts here on the stream team or tweet at us at NoDunkSake. We got to take a break. One break, quick one. And when we come back, our Toronto Raptors, every player that plays for them is involved in a trade rumor right now. So we'll talk about that. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, I promised you it was a quick break. We're back here in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, we love to see it. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Share the show. All you podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. I have a question for you guys. How do you want to tackle all these Raptors trade rumors? You want me to chuck them all at you at once or go piece by piece here? What would you prefer?
Whatever you're in the mood for. I want to talk about Pascal Siakam, really.
Okay, we'll go piece by piece.
That's the interesting one.
This one by way of Jake Fisher at Yahoo Sports. The Hawks have Pascal Siakam on their radar.
Ooh.
So, this intrigues you.
Yeah. On the radar. That always intrigues me. I think
on the radar. Expressing interest. Circling player X. I love all the ways you can say this stuff.
They're circling Pascal. The Hawks are a team that seemingly they want to go all in. There's a few of those teams, right? It just feels like there's going to be some moves this week. So Pascal Siakam, 29 years of age. Is Masai Ujiri ready to cut Pascal Siakam and go? The Hawks, I'm not sure what the return is there. I've heard the Blazers Siakam smoke.
Yep.
That's pretty interesting, I think, a little bit more than the Hawks situation, because if they are willing to give up the number three pick, the rumors are that they're more interested in Pascal Siakam than they are OG Anunoby, who's been rumored for the number three pick. That's more of a talking point than I think this Hawks deal. But Siakam smoke is very real right
Should
now.
The Raptors move Siakam right now?
I think there's, yeah, if you get the right package, I think it might be time.
Mm. You have an opinion on that?
We've seen him trade DeMar DeRozan, similar age, success. Maybe we reached our ceiling in a similar way. Yeah, I could see it happening.
It's time to explore things, at the very least. Just like the Bulls with Zach LaVine, like, the time is now to see what's available. There's a lot of overlap for Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes. Like, those are your top two guys. They play the same position. They basically play the exact same way. Siakam's obviously older. He's more expensive, so he would be able to bring back more. But I don't know. You guys like John Collins? No. You like DeAndre Hunter? Because that's the player return you're likely getting. The Hawks do have picks that they can trade. They've got 2024 Kings first-round pick. They've got their own 2023 first-rounder, and then they got one in the way future, 29. I don't know if the Raptors could expect to get three first-round picks, but maybe you pick a couple of those. And a player as well, AJ Griffin. I'm a fan. That would probably be the young guy that you're getting. But it does feel weird. I agree that the Raptors would be trading like a borderline all-NBA forward for some other forwards.
Yeah,
it would be about getting the picks, I suppose. Yeah. But I don't know. I think I would rather have the number three pick in Simons as well, if they could do it.
Yeah, that does seem more enticing. If that's the direction the Raptors are going to go, and Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, man, they slow play things, and there are not a lot of leaks when it comes to the Raptors and that front office too. We don't really ever know until it actually happens. And Shams and Woj is telling us of a particular trade. Very, very infrequently do we get ooh, that's a real leak from the Raps. But they have decisions to make here. Obviously with the makeup of their team and, Fred VanVleet and OG, which we're going to get to here in a second. But yeah, I think I'm more intrigued if they are real, a Blazers deal led by Simons and the number three pick for Siakam, than I am any of these things coming back from the Atlanta Hawks personally.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And it just feels like there's a lot of sharks in the water, a lot of sharks that want to go for it right here, right now, like your Hawks, like your Blazers, potentially. If they choose the non trading Damian Lillard route. Might be time to pounce right now, because deals aren't going to get done 12 months from now. It's going to be dead zone. It's going to be so dead next year before the CBA is signed, before the CBA gets into that second deal or second year, I should say. This is now. Time is now.
So the radars
are going beep, 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 beep.
Couple emergency podcasts coming our way.
Yeah, Raiders are hot now. Next year, you can lose all those terms.
Well, if Masai Ujiri wanted three first-round picks for OG Anunoby, how many does he want for Pascal Siakam? He probably wants 100. Well, let's talk about OG, because several teams have expressed trade interest in Anunoby. We had the Pacers being linked to him, Sacramento Kings, the Blazers, ahead of last year's draft, were linked with OG there. And according to reports, the Grizzlies are dangling future first-round draft picks to make an upgrade on the wing. TK, we'll start with you here. OG Anunoby. He obviously seems to be the type of player, especially under the contract he is, that you could put into a lot of teams and not miss a beat as a perimeter defender that can hit a shot.
And he's got a good contract. Yeah. And look at the last two teams we saw win championships. The Warriors and the Nuggets. They had super athletic wings who did enough on offense and then played incredible defense that you're like, I can see OG Anunoby slotting into an Aaron Gordon, KCP, Andrew Wiggins sort of zone.
Totally.
Does different things, but the exact same sort of player, can do just enough on offense that you get a huge benefit from having him out there defensively. I personally like him the most on the Kings. I think would be awesome to move on from Harrison Barnes. You go forward with your starting forwards as Anunoby and Keegan Murray. That's incredible. Alongside their all-NBA guys in Fox and Sabonis, that could be a really nice-looking team. Or the Grizzlies, whenever John Morant comes back and we see what they actually look like. OG, I think, could have helped put the Grizzlies over the top last year if Ja was able to stay on the court. But that's definitely an interesting one as well. Will the Raptors get back 3 to 4 first-round picks? That doesn't seem to be the case this summer. You ain't getting that kind of a deal, which is maybe why the Raptors are taking so many calls. What's the price right now? What are we paying up this summer? Did I mess it up? You think Masai's think I messed it up? I should have traded these guys at the trade deadline?
It's
possible.
It's sort of TBD,
Yep.
I mean, because the opposite could be true, where a desperate, desperate team is like, all right, fine, three picks. We need him. We need the help. He fills a hole in our roster. And for all the reasons you just said, we think OG takes us to potential championship with the other players we have on our team, whatever that team is. We will see here. What do you think on OG?
I don't think they're ever getting three first-round picks. I think that was just that hot rumor that they wanted. And Masai is he's a beast of a bargainer.
He believes he has to win every single trade. And he's got a great track record. He doesn't have a lot of L's on the record. But this is why I think they must be frustrating as hell to call up Masai and Bobby.
Yeah, I saw
trade.
Matt Moore had the report that, like, basically teams hate calling the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're the Spurs. The Spurs love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Spurs always get a first-round pick out of the Raptors.
That's true, true, true. With the Pirtle deal there, yeah.
And Thad Young.
Yeah.
But if you're trading for OG Anunoby, you think you're one piece away, probably. Like, really close.
Yeah.
And, oh, the Sacramento Kings with OG Anunoby? Yeah, what a fit. What a phenomenal fit. So they should be willing to give up a decent amount, but I do think Masai Ujiri could have gotten more for a bunch of these pieces, as we're seeing around the league. A couple of years ago, last offseason, you know, the whole Kevin Durant scenario. But people will pay for OG Anunoby. What's the going rate? Well, Masai's going to get the most. We know that.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then final report here. The Rockets, the Lakers, the Suns, and the Magic have all shown interest in Fred VanVleet, according to league insider Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype. Udoka and the Rockets, they're believed to really want, like, a floor general here. We've talked about the Rockets wanting to get a vet to add to all their young guys. They enter free agency with, like, $60 million in salary cap flexibility. So one viable option on the marketplace could be VanVleet, who sounds like is going to get a contract in around the $30 million annual mark here. Probably, you would assume, like, 3 years, something like that. Maybe even more. Could be, like, 3 for $33. I don't know. What do you think of those teams reportedly interested in VanVleet and maybe even the Rocket side of things?
Yeah, the two takeaways I have from this is, number one, that VanVleet's going to be leaving the Raptors. There's just too much interest league-wide. There's a little bit of cap space out there, and he's one of the best players who could feasibly actually change teams. So I think one of these teams makes sense, and to me it's the Rockets, because that's the other takeaway from me, is that we're hearing a lot more about Fred VanVleet going to the Rockets right now than we are James Harden going to the Rockets. So I wonder if that's starting to be more so of a done deal, him heading back to Philadelphia, in which case the Rockets do need to add some veteranship. They need a point guard. They need some defense. All things that Fred VanVleet would bring to Houston. Not to mention, if you're looking for a guy to learn, like, the ropes of the NBA, how about an undrafted guy who made it to all-star level and winning a championship? That's kind of like the perfect veteran to be teaching people.
The Rockets and Fred VanVleet is perfect, I think, for a lot of those reasons. Also, just because he is one of the best free agents, as you said, out there, and I think the Rockets want a big fish this offseason, and that could be the biggest of fish. He has come to free agency. He's become a free agent at the perfect time for him, and I could see that. I could see him wanting a fresh start, number one. Number two, being the leader of a team in Houston that's extremely young, and I could see maybe the Rockets and their front office saying, maybe it's better to go with a younger guy than James Harden after maybe thinking on it for a bit. But it does seem like James Harden is going back to Philadelphia. But this is a hot time. This is such a hot time. I hope Michael Scotto has things to talk about 12 months from now, because I'm not sure he will.
Yeah, you're really concerned about that.
I'm so concerned about all these writers and these rumors. Scotto will find a way, though. He always does.
It could be very weird, especially for us as Raptors fans, if any of this is true. Like, this could be a completely different Raptors team heading into next season, which isn't a bad thing. Like, I think, like, who's untouchable? Scottie Barnes is not going anywhere. It feels like, because they traded a first-round pick, that they'll be re-signing Pirtle. So, you know, he's there. But then, if it's getting to the point where, yeah, either VanVleet or Gary Trent Jr. is gone, if not both of them, in free agency. And then maybe either OG or Siakam is gone in whatever incredible deal Masai is trying to, like, whip together here. Either promising young players, be it Simons and picks and stuff like that, or whatever. Maybe a surprise team that comes out of nowhere and wants one of those guys. Like, there's going to be, like, two or three completely just, like, core pieces of a championship team gone. And that's probably right. Because what's the ceiling just to run this team back? Good, yes. Good, but not great.
Yep. It feels like
even with a new coach.
Yeah, it feels like the 2018 year where DeMar and Lowry were getting there, were doing well, but not enough. And so it might be time to move on. I mean, I do buy these rumors.
So the Raptors
sure.
are going to trade for Kawhi Leonard? Try it again. I mean, he's sick.
I'm sick in a bad way.
Be funny.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
We had a retirement in the NBA. A legend, some would say. Some would say a player's favorite player. Lou Williams has retired. 17 seasons for Lou Will. Drafted way back when. Let's check the accomplishments of Lou Williams. Out of high school in the second round, 45th pick way back in 05, the last time you could draft out of high school, ended up being the all-time leading bench scorer.
Incredible.
Ever. Nearly, over 13,000 points off the bench. Added a couple thou more as a starter. Three-time sixth man of the year. But, you know, on that, he said there wasn't a role for him as a starter. There wasn't a position that coaches were giving him, so he invented his own. And became that guy. Now only LeBron remains as a high school draftee from way back when. That's the only one left. And he's got some other accomplishments. Let's throw these out here. There's a chicken wing named after Lou Williams at Atlanta's Magic City Strip Club. It's called the Lou Will Lemon Pepper BBQ. Mm-hmm. Drake made a song about him, trying to get him to Sixth Man of the Year trophy.
It worked.
Yep. Yes. In 2015, we got that button. Their little marketing package.
We had that button.
Oh, yeah.
Six man like Lou Will. Every time you press that button, you know it's like.
Where is that button?
We turned it into a lock it in button at one point. Yeah. I feel like we had.
Oh, JD's got it.
Digging.
Yeah. JD, it's right there. I can see it. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I forgot that there was a
button. Don't worry about it. It's not that important.
It's like a buzzer in a little board game that you're playing. And guys did love him. As I said, you know, he used to say, I'm your favorite player. No, favorite player's favorite player. That's how you say
there
that.
There you go.
And like Emmanuel Quickley, if you remember, getting on the floor and saying, you're the man. I love you. And so it's an interesting.
He's one of the coolest players ever.
And he's also cool. Yeah. I was going to put cool on that graphic as well. Just super cool. So that's the Lou Williams package. He didn't play this past year. He played from 05 to 22. Took a year off as I guess he was trying to get signed, but it didn't happen. What do you remember him as the most? What team do you remember him
as? That's a good question.
Because he bounced.
Which team do I remember him with the most?
Played the most years with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I was going to say Sixers.
To start his career, but then lots of...
Clippers a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Clippers and Hawks a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's from here. I mean, he went to South Gwinnett High School, which is like 30 minutes east of here, and was like obviously a spectacle. It was before we had moved here, but by all accounts, was like packing gyms to see this kid and how he played and how special he was. That's tough. I guess I go Philly. I think that's the team that first pops into my head, probably just because of the longevity of him staying there. Felt like he played for more teams in my head, too.
You want to guess them in order?
Only six, right?
It's tough in order. There's some curveballs thrown in.
Well,
here.
It's Philly.
Starts in Philly.
Toronto?
Nope.
No.
That's a serious curveball.
He had a quick stop here. He had a
quick stop with Houston?
Atlanta,
okay.
Two seasons with Atlanta, 13-14. Then?
Toronto.
Here's the curveball.
He played 1 year in Toronto. That's the weird thing.
He went to Toronto, played one season.
Feels like he played longer.
Drake made a song about him. He won an award, and then he was gone, too.
I'm looking at it.
Is it Lakers or Rockets?
Lakers and Rockets, same season. then Clippers, and then he was Atlanta for 21 and 22.
Oh, there you
so
go.
He made it back to the Clippers again.
Okay.
He went back to the Clippers, and he went back
to the Hawks.
Hawks.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's like, hanging
out. So that's
LA
why I think
Atlanta
he played for more teams.
Awesome.
Yeah.
LA is sweet, and Atlanta is sweet. Great party cities. Everybody will remember him having two girlfriends and that photo of him with Allen Iverson from when, like, Lou Williams was a rookie. Lou Williams was, like, Allen Iverson's rookie. So that's part of why Lou Williams is so cool. He's got incredible Iverson stories that he's been telling his entire career.
Yeah.
And there's that picture of them sitting on a couch wearing, like, the biggest shirts and pants you've ever seen in your entire life. There's, like, four people's worth of fabric on the couch, but just Lou Williams and Allen Iverson sitting together.
Lou Williams blocked me on Twitter because I said something about him having two girlfriends. Complimentary, by the way. He didn't like it. He was tired of hearing
about it. I wanted the news
it.
Out, baby.
I don't know if I'm still blocked by him or not. Quick trivia off of Lou Williams here. You said he scored 13,000-plus points off the bench. You guys want to see if you can name the top 10 of most points scored?
Jamal.
Coming off the pine, Jamal Crawford, number two. Yeah, Lou Williams, one. Jamal Crawford, two. There's only one other guy that ever hit over 10,000 off the bench. Oh,
that's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. It's a lot of points. You know, it was just Father's Day, and great tie into the NBA.
Del Curry.
Del Curry.
Yep,
there
yep,
you
yep,
go.
Yep, yep.
11,000-plus points for him. Keep going if you want.
We're talking Dennis Johnson.
Dennis Johnson.
How about Vinny Johnson?
No. Oh, yes. Vinny Johnson is on the list, and there's another Johnson, but not who you said.
Another Johnson.
Johnson.
Johnson!
Okay, does he have a very common first name as well?
Well, I would say yes, because there's two of these guys in the NBA history.
Joe?
No, not Joe.
Irvin.
No, not Irvin.
Yeah, I know. There's two Irvins, but one always started as far as Joe. Another Johnson.
Yeah, there's
Marcus.
No.
Dennis.
He played for the Suns. He played for
Eddie.
Eddie. Wasn't there two Eddie Johnsons?
Yeah.
Edward.
Yeah.
So Eddie Johnson's fourth. You got Vinny.
Manu didn't make this.
He did. He did. Manu Ginobili. He's on the list. And then a couple other great names that you can get.
Havlicek.
No. He didn't. Well,
McHale did some work.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Who'd you say?
McHale.
McHale's Kevin's on the list. Yep. I think he makes 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No, he's ninth. Kevin McHale, ninth. In very very few games.
Michael Cooper. Byron Scott.
No.
Kevin Willis, just because he played
Scott
forever.
I'll give you a little.
Jason.
The Jets.
He's 10.
Jet.
Jason Terry, 10.
That's a good one.
And then these two are tough, but this guy won Sixth Man of the Year twice, I want to say. I'm going to look that up. But
I think
he won it twice.
Ricky Pierce.
There you go.
Yep. Nice one.
Ricky Pierce. And then one more name. Just a great, great first name that I think is underrated when I
Sadale
look at
Threat.
It. That's a great name. But no, there's never been another one of these guys, I don't think. No, he's the only name in NBA history with this name.
God Sham God.
What can I give you? I think he played for the Jazz.
Thurl Bailey?
That's right. Thurl.
Thurl's
what
a sick
name.
Game, yeah.
Thurl. Yes, Thurl Bailey. So the list goes like this as I pop it back up here. Most points off the bench in NBA history. Lou Williams leads the way with 13,000 plus. Then you got Jamal Crawford, Del Curry, Eddie Johnson, Ricky Pierce, two-time Sixth Man of the Year. Thurl Bailey, what a name. Ginobili, Vinny Johnson, Kevin McHale, and Jason Terry. Stat Muse coming through with that.
Yeah. Lou Williams, what a career. Yeah, you could have like accomplishments board and then just cool factor.
Yeah,
cool factor.
Just killing it.
Sport, for sure.
I always remember that this is rando, but I kind of remember him as a Clipper. And he was tied with Blake Griffin for the leader of points per game on that team, even though he came off the bench.
Mm.
Like, he was awesome off the bench that year. 22 points per game. Dropped a 50 spot once upon a time. He had a great year, man.
Fading left jumper, Lou Williams, no doubt.
Good foul drawer.
Did you see the video that he had up on Instagram to announce his retirement?
His daughter?
Yeah, that was really well done.
It was.
I thought that was such a slick edit. The only thing I kept thinking about then was obviously Bradley Beal being traded to the Suns and they need players. Lou Williams should play for the Phoenix Suns. Come out of retirement.
Sure.
Try win a ring. Try win a chip. Doesn't have one of those, but nope. He's done. What a career. Sweet Lou. Lou Williams forever. Let's call it there, guys. We will be back later this week whatever other blockbuster trades happen. Tass says it's going to be a busy week. I agree with you.
I agree with me too.
We got to do some sort of draft preview, maybe even a mock draft as we get ready for Thursday night. So make sure you subscribe, hit that like button, share the show with your friends, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review, and we'll be back before you know it. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, blank scored the most points off the bench this year. Who's that blank?
Bobby Portis.
Interesting. I haven't looked it up yet. But, it's either Brogdon,
no, you
Quickly.
Don't. Malik Monk. Put me down for Malik Monk.
Just wanted to say names. We go NBA.com. Get out of here, basketball reference for the benchers.
StatMuse will tell you. Are we looking?
Yeah, we'll do it later.
Okay.
Tune in tomorrow,
or maybe whenever we see you to find out the answer to that incredible question. Brace the day, people.